Good morning. The Daily Puck Drop is here. PuckSports.com, YouTube if you're watching there, Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, wherever you find your podcast. That's right. Let's see it right there. Number one dad, if you're watching, if you're listening, I got a number one dad coffee mug. I don't know if that's the case, but I think most dads like to just give that award to themselves. Welcome in. It's the Daily Puck Drop. We do it every single day here at PuckSports.com, the DPD. Hey, if you'd like to be a sponsor of the Daily Puck Drop, the DBT, that didn't sound right, the DPD. If you got to slow it down a little bit, this is the problem with me. I get a little too much caffeine going through the system here. If you'd like to sponsor the Daily Puck Drop, hit me up at puck@PuckSports.com. You can see the left or right. There's a contact tab up there. Email me if you'd like to sponsor the Daily Puck Drop. We release it every single day, 10 a.m. going over last night's stories, previewing the top stuff that's happening up today in the world of sports and whatever kind of comes to my mind. All right. Tuesdays, we talk to John Canzano. From johncanzano.com, the bald-faced truth, 7:50 the game down there in Portland, Oregon. Real quick, how about this Expos hat? If you're watching, you see it. If you're listening, Montreal Expos hat. This is a real beaut. If you look real close, really lean in there, sweat stains. Yeah, because I wear this too much. And it's a good hat. I mean, we talk about baseball expansion. You know, we had Jim Duquette on Monday's show, and we were talking about the crap situation that's happening in Oakland. And Jim said, hey, before Major League Baseball expands, they got to get it right with Oakland. And we'll bring it up with Canzano today because Jim Duquette mentioned Portland is kind of one of the number one spots, and then Nashville. Nashville would be kind of fun, but so would Portland. I think Portland would be a great baseball town. Just a long history, long, rich history of baseball there in that city. But God, can we just go back to Montreal? How can we not go back there? The greatest uniforms, the greatest hat, the greatest colors. It's the Expos. God, I would love to. They're never going to do it. But God, I would love them to go back to Montreal. That'd be great. It'd be great for baseball. You know, Jim Duquette said something yesterday. I totally agree with him. I think we said it last week with that whole news with John Fisher. I'd bet any amount of money right now, and I actually don't have a lot, okay, is that I bet they never, the A's never end up going to Vegas. That in the likelihood, they end up going to Sacramento, and they just stay in Sacramento, and they just moved up, you know, 2 hours north or whatever it is from Oakland to Sacramento. That I bet you at the end of the day, they never end up even going to Las Vegas. Not going to Las Vegas because they're in Toronto. The Mariners, huh? Ouch. Another loss, another game in which they just, for the most part, non-competitive. Jose Berrios shut him down. 4 hits and 6 2/3 innings. The only damn hits that came off him were from Ty France, who was just on paternity leave. And congratulations to the France family. Three of those four hits by France. And again, what was the MO if you watched the game yesterday? What was it? It's just a continued steady diet, a steady diet, an arsenal of off-speed pitches. That's it. Berrios, that's all he threw. What did Divish had it in the paper today? That's right, I still read an old-school newspaper because I'm old. I mean, I don't think 48 is all that old, but I just like a hard copy of a newspaper. I don't know why. It's just something about the noise. In fact, I'll bring it in here at some point. It's just the noise and the folding of the paper. I'm a weird person. Anyways, I think he threw his breaking pitches 38 more times or something like that than he did anything else. Remember DePoto coming out last week after that first series? Oh, it's, you know, we just ran into guys that like to spin it, and we're likely not going to see that much more throughout the season. Really? Seems like that's the MO for every pitcher against your team, is to throw breaking pitches and off-speed pitches. And so far, they haven't been able to hit it. And it's been hard to watch. And so their offense only did anything last night once they got into Toronto's bullpen, Crawford with a home run and Cal Raleigh with his first home run. Other than that, the offense just absolutely non-existent. and not good again. And then you couple this now with a growing issue. Now we can say it's a problem now. First game, okay, it's the first game of the year. Second game, he stubs his toe again. Now we have a third straight start from our guy, Luis Castillo, who we all love, where he just does not look good at all, particularly when he gets two strikes and can't put somebody away. And that's what Bill Krueger talked about in our first episode with him, the Bill Krueger Show, which airs on Mondays here at PuckSports.com. That's what Bill Krueger talked about this week's show as well. His inability to get people out with two strikes. Cal Raleigh talked about it after the game as well. Go read Divish's comments in the newspaper about it. That we get to two strikes and we're still pitching in the middle of the plate. We can't do that. Castillo, 5 innings, 9 hits, 4 runs. He's 0-3 on the season, 6.89 ERA, 12 runs and 26 hits this season. The stat that blew me away that Divish had in the paper, 5 2-strike hits, including 2 doubles. On that game yesterday there against Toronto. And this is something, though, that really it's not just the first 3 games of this season for Luis Castillo. This dates now back to last season for him. Last 6 games of last season, he had an ERA of damn near 5, 4.96. Opponents were slugging 4.68 against him, an OPS of 8.25. He had 38 strikeouts. He had 18 walks in those last 6 games. He didn't finish last year strong. And then now we start this season, and it's nothing really has improved for him. So, man, it's I don't know what's wrong with him. I mean, the stuff looks good at times. I mean, he looks dominant at times, but it is his inability to just finish people off. And he's throwing way too many pitches. He's giving up way too many hits. And too many balls are just landing, especially with those 2 strikes, right over the middle of the plate. And it's concerning. And the starting pitching, you know, for that matter, has been a concern. It just has been. Because, like we talked about yesterday with Bill Krueger, it is a very thin line, real thin line on these guys. If their starting pitching isn't quite elite, they're going to struggle. Because offensively, they're not good right now. They can get better. And again, this all can turn around, as Krueger said yesterday, fairly quickly. I mean, right now, the top 3 guys in their order are just not hitting. Julio's not hitting. Polanco's not hitting. Looked okay in Milwaukee. That was a great home run by Polanco. He displays the power, and then Crawford is not hitting. Those first 3 guys have got to get it going. And then hopefully everything else kind of falls into place. Francis looked better this year. Haniger's looked better this year, for sure. But those first 3 guys have got to get going. I know Julio's notoriously been a slow starter. And eventually, at the end of the year, right, we're going to look at the back of his baseball card, drink. Okay, for everybody watching and listening, you got to drink. Anytime someone says, including myself, you got to wait until the end of the season, the back of his baseball card, we got to drink. All right? There we go. If we tape these in the afternoon, this will be replaced by bourbon and beer. But right now it's coffee because we're taping this early in the morning. So they'll be back at it again today, trying to get a win. I'd like to see a clean pitched game, a well-fielded game, and please, for the love of God, when you have runners in scoring position, can we just drive them home? That's what I would like to see today. And I just would like to see them stop pressing. I mean, I think this team is pressing a lot. I think the manager's pressing a lot. I think he feels a lot of the pressure, what's going on with these guys. There's no doubt DePoto probably feels pressure. When we had Divish on in that first episode here at PuckSports.com, that he had mentioned both these guys are going in their last year of their contracts. I mean, they're playing for jobs. Maybe not DePoto, but I'd venture to say Scott Service is. I don't think this is a package deal anymore, Scott Service and Jerry DePoto. So I think some of the reactions from Service have been some of the pressure maybe he's putting on himself this year with everything that's going on. So the M's back at it today. Did not look good against Toronto yesterday. Castillo has been a problem. I don't know what they can do to kind of right the ship with him. But again, the numbers and just his ability to get guys out when he gets 2 strikes has just been an issue so far through the first 3 games of the season. And again, was an issue there in the last 6 games. We have another transitioning over to another baseball injury. Framber Valdez, he was scratched from his start on Monday. Another arm injury for a power guy. This has now become a real problem in Major League Baseball. It was a real big topic last on MLB Network. It was a topic this morning on the show. We talked to Jim Duquette about this yesterday on his appearance, which is brought to you by Flatstick Pub. And obviously, he did not agree with the Tony Clark and the MLB PA's, you know, take that it's about the pitch clock. It's not about the pitch clock. It has nothing to do with the pitch clock. This is all about pitchers in today's game chasing maximum velocity. And it's starting at an earlier and earlier and earlier age. I told you about this story watching this high school kid pitch this last week, who's a stud, by the way. And, you know, he's touching 92 on the gun and he's a junior. That is not normal, nor is that good. That is not good for his arm. And you're going to hear, I'm going to read you a quote here shortly from Dr. James Andrews, who performs all these UCL tears, the Tommy John surgery. And he's going to tell you that this is not normal for high school kids to throw like this. And they're performing more surgeries now on these high school kids, youth pitchers, than they ever have before. But this is going to be a problem because you've got Loaiza, you've got Shane Bieber, you've got Yuri Perez, Spencer Strider. We'll wait and see with Framber Valdez. Garrett Cole's not pitching until June. Justin Verlander's not pitching right now. He's in the minors. All these guys dealing with arm issues because the name of the game is velocity and spin rate and all of the analytics that come a part of it. I love analytics. I think it's a great tool in sports. But with analytics, you're getting a chase for maximum velocity and maximum spin rate with a really human disregard for the health of an elbow and shoulder and arm. Because I don't know, I think teams care, but I don't know how much they care. Because they look at these guys as kind of property and just like, get out there, throw as hard as you can. If something happens, we'll just rinse and repeat with somebody else. I mean, that's a cold reality, but that is the reality of baseball right now. The Ringer had a story on this, and they cited research that there were 263 UCL surgeries in 2023. That's a rise from 111 procedures that were performed in 2011. And also about this, of the 166 players who started the season on the IL this year in Major League Baseball, 132 of them were pitchers. Now, pitchers have always been injured, and there's always going to be arm issues with pitchers, and pitchers always want to throw harder. It's never been this thing where pitchers don't want to look for adding speed and velocity, and I don't know how you actually take that out of the game because it's always a chase for it because added velocity means better pitcher. Added velocity, for the most part, means more money, and that's what these guys are trying to chase. I don't know, the game of baseball, especially with the relievers, is a chew them up and spit them out type of situation right now. In an MLB.com story, Dr. James Andrews said this, quote, "The largest number of Tommy John surgeries are happening in youth baseball." When he means youth, he's talking high school. But I think it's dropped down even below high school. "They've surpassed what's being done in the major leagues. These kids are throwing 90 miles an hour their junior year of high school. Kid I just referenced, watching this past weekend, was throwing 92. The ligament itself cannot withstand that type of force. We have learned in our research lab that baseball is a developmental sport. The Tommy John ligament matures at the age of 26 years old. Repeat that again. Dr. James Andrews, who performs all these surgeries, is the number one doctor in this, says that the Tommy John ligament does not mature until the age of 26. He said in high school, the red line where the forces go beyond the properties of that ligament is 80 miles an hour. So he's telling you that high school pitchers, max velocity to protect their arms should be about 80 miles an hour. And we've got guys now, juniors in high school, throwing 92 and above. I mean, there's kids probably, you know, if you're a parent of a 13 or probably a 14U kid playing travel ball, I bet you have kids at 14, you throwing 80 miles an hour. It's not good. They're going to blow their arm out. And they're going to have massive, massive arm issues later. It's going to happen. And people, especially at the youth level, I coach Little League Baseball. It's upon us, Little League Baseball coaches, travel ball coaches, especially high school coaches. They need to protect these kids. Can't have some kid throwing 92 pitches or 92 miles an hour, throwing 100-plus pitches in a game and playing shortstop. That's just not smart. And you're not doing the family or the kid any favors by doing that. More baseball news, just real quick. Ellie De La Cruz, he's the most fantastic baseball player, and I love watching him more than anybody. I just all of it. Just the gold chains, how goddamn fast he is. He had two home runs yesterday. One blistered a ball into dead center field in Cincinnati. And then the other one was an inside the park home run. He is just the most fun player to watch. Here's the other thing I like about Ellie De La Cruz. He did his press conference yesterday in English. Last year, he didn't do it. He had a translator. But in spring training last year, and then I think it continued this year. Spring training last year, I think we told the story on the radio. He would always travel home, usually with a different coach or with whoever was driving him back to his apartment or where he lived. And they would have a conversation on the way home. And the coach that would drive him home was Spanish-speaking as well. But he would demand, Ellie De La Cruz, he would demand that the coach talk to him in English. He goes, I want to practice my English, and I want to learn as we drive home. So don't speak to me in Spanish the whole way home. And that's how he learned to speak English. He gave a press conference yesterday after his, an interview after his game. It's great. It's awesome. I just bring it up because it's this work ethic of a guy like this and others that come from countries where English is not their first language. And they come here, they're playing a sport, they're in a new environment, and they have a new language. And this guy, as much effort as he puts into being a great baseball player, he also has taken upon himself off the field to be able to communicate and doing without a translator. I just thought it's pretty cool. It's the first time I'd heard him actually. I was watching highlights last night. First time I've heard him speak in English. So it was cool. Just a kind of a nod there to Ellie De La Cruz. Let's see this one. Oh, NFL news. So apparently there's a report coming out that Bo Nix had a top 30 visit with the Seattle Seahawks. Okay, how do we feel about that, Seahawks fans? Since we're on YouTube, and there's no really way to communicate on Apple, Spotify, or Amazon, on YouTube, the comment section is open. All right. I want people to leave comments on the Bo Nix thing here. I want to hear what people feel and think about Bo Nix perhaps coming to Seattle. A top 30 visit, that means the Seahawks certainly are interested in Bo Nix. Now, many people feel that there could be at least six quarterbacks taken in the first round. Bo Nix to Seattle. My take on Bo Nix is this. I think he's a fine college quarterback, and I think there's a lot to like about Bo Nix. I don't think he's as bad as maybe, we want to make him out to be probably in this market. I get it. It's the whole Husky-Ducks rivalry, and God, you don't want to – it would play out bad here if the Seahawks took Bo Nix because of how many Husky fans obviously there are because we're in Seattle. And most Seahawks fans, if they're going to take a quarterback, would prefer Michael Penix because of the connection. And if they were to go in a different direction with Ryan Grubb, who was the offensive coordinator for Penix, and go with Bo Nix, I think there would be a lot of fans that would be upset about it. Not to say that it's the wrong draft pick, the wrong move to do. Just saying that that's what the reaction from the Seahawks fans, and that's what it would be. Now, for me, for Bo Nix, my only thing with him and with Ryan Grubb, the thing I love about the Ryan Grubb offense is their ability to push the ball downfield. And maybe he would be able to, call a different offense or do different things with a different quarterback who doesn't have that strong of an arm. But Bo Nix, to me, just never looked like a guy in college with the ability to sit back there, plant that foot, certainly not like Penix, not like Geno Smith, hit that back foot, boom, hit a deep post or a deep just driving a ball, 40, 50, 60 yards downfield. He just doesn't – I never really seen it at Oregon. I mean, he really felt like a real check down Charlie. Hit guides him, he's accurate, that short, quick passing game. But that doesn't really feel like Ryan Grubb's offense, a short, quick passing game. That is a, we're going to run the ball and we're taking our shots downfield. Bo Nix to me just doesn't he doesn't do it for me. All right, I don't get it. And I hope this is maybe just a smoke screen or you know, a smoke screen that they're looking at Bo Nix and they want people to think that they're going quarterback, but they're not going quarterback. All this is a mind game too. When this stuff gets released, there's a lot of smoke being thrown out there by teams. But there you go, Bo Nix, top 30 visit. Leave comments below here on YouTube. Bo Nix to Seattle. Would you be in favor of the Oregon quarterback coming to the Seattle Seahawks? The Nips and Dips Club, we talked about that yesterday. The cold plunging in the Sound there right next to the Elks did it first on Sunday. I'm going to go back today on Tuesday because I played old man fat hoops last night and I'm sore. So I'm going to go dip. I'm the first male member of the Nips and Dips Club. My wife and her group of her hens have formed this club, the Nips and Dips. I am now the first male member of the Nips and Dips Club. Going to go dip here later today. They're in the Sound right next to the Elks Club. Probably grab a cocktail right afterwards. But I need it. I'm sore. I can't move. My knees hurt. My hips hurt. And I do every time I leave old man fat basketball. Now, when I say old man fat basketball, because one of the guys said it to me last night, you must play in a different league because none of us are fat. I said, well, I am. And I'm just making fun of myself. All right. Every time I leave, I'm like, God, I don't know if I can do it next week. I'm so damn sore. But you know what? I keep coming back. And I'm going to keep playing until they drag me off the damn floor. Tiger Woods, a press conference today at the Masters. Why is he coming back to play? He said, quote, I just love playing golf. That's all we need. You know, everybody wants him to be done. Well, he's not the same anymore. He's 955th in the world. And why did he just ride up on the sunset? I get all that. He just wants to play golf. He loves playing. He's been playing since he's a kid. He wants to continue to play. Let's all just enjoy it. And it doesn't matter where he finishes this week at the Masters. I hope he makes the cut. I hope he plays all four rounds. He's must-see TV. He moves the needle more than anybody else on that tour. He moves it more than Jon Rahm, Scottie Scheffler, Brooks Koepka, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, all of them. You casual golf fan, even the hardcore golf fan like me, I'm there this week to see Tiger Woods. Now, I'm going to watch everything else because I'm going to gamble on it, and I've got a lot of money riding on some guys. But, dude, Tiger Woods moves the needle, and people want to see Tiger Woods. So I'm glad he's back. I hope he's healthy. I hope he gets to play all 4 days. Speaking of the Masters, Puck the Picker Masters Pool, all you got to do is go to runmypools.com. I'll put a link here at the bottom, runmypools.com. Click Join Pool and enter the code NLAT. So go to runmypools.com, click Join Pool, and enter the code NLAT. NLAT. Bill Sanders, big thanks for coming up with the idea. All you got to do, it's a real simple game. It's free, no credit card information. There is some pop-up ads there. I think we've removed them. You don't have to enter anything. So if it says anywhere where you got to enter something, credit card information, you don't have to enter anything. Just go to runmypools.com, click Join Pool, and enter the code NLAT. Game is simple. All you got to do is you're going to pick five golfers. We're going to base the results on the money earned. Straightforward, simple and easy. No money to sign up. It's completely free. But you, listener, viewer, are going to get prizes. First place, $150 gift card to John Howie Steak. Second place, a $75 gift card to Georgetown Brewery. Third place, $50 gift card to Flat Stick Pub. Also want to get a quick shout out. Big thanks to, once again, Synthetic Turf Northwest. I'm preparing for the Masters myself. Go check out the video on my social media channels on Twitter/X, Instagram at Puck2040. Officially installed ahead of the Masters. Don't hesitate. Go to SyntheticTurfNorthwest.com today. Offering 0% interest for up to 18 months. No money down. Give them a call at 425-788-0718. Again, check out my video at Puck2040. Coming up on today's show later today, 1 o'clock, we'll release our John Canzano segment with John. We'll, at johncanzano.com. You can read all of his work there. Follow him, John Canzano BFT. We're going to talk the women's college basketball TV ratings. Why are they so high? Obviously, the Caitlin Clark effect. Can it carry over to next year? We will talk about new transfer rules in college sports, just making it easier for everyone to leave. Is it the right move to make? There's a proposal for a college football super league. It would benefit Washington State and Oregon State and others, but they need two conferences on board. You know those two conferences are. They likely won't be. So this is probably dead on arrival, but we'll talk to John about that. We'll get his thoughts on the new hire of David Riley. Maybe some thoughts on Bill Belichick being at the Huskies' spring practices. Also the Blazers. How about it? The Blazers just did a big F you to their fan base on Fan Appreciation Day that's coming up in a few days. You are going to love what these putzes down there are giving away to their fans. John Canzano coming up later today, PuckSports.com. Also on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music. Just search Puck Sports, and you're going to get the John Canzano episode coming up later today. It will be released at 1 o'clock. We'll be with you again tomorrow on the Daily Puck Drop, the DPD. Until then, as always, we promise to be better.
No shoes, no dice.
Would anybody like to smoke some pot?
Yeah. I was born to love you. I was born to lick your face. I was born to rub you. But you were born to rub me first.
What do you need my address for?
We'd like to send out a mailer.
Mother of mercy, I don't speak Japanese!